teach our children the boundaries that the Lord has given us, if we'll do that, we'll be able to raise generation in a crooked and corrupt generation. We'll be able to raise a generation who are holy people unto God, that are defying the pressures of this world and living for God, living for the kingdom of God, living according to heaven's principles. I'm telling you, folks, I know we love our kids. It's going to take some real effort in these days that we're living in to teach them, the ways of God. Back in, you know, I remember when I was being brought up in the kid, I mean, every Sunday morning you were in church. You were there. Now we take Sunday morning as, you know, well, there might be a hockey game that I'm going to go to, or I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. I tell you, there's a shift that has to be taking place if the body of Christ is going to survive. I believe the body of Christ, God has always got a remnant. And there will be a remnant in the end time of people who are holy unto God. And we have to make a decision that our children are going to be a part of that group as well. Now listen to this, Jeremiah 2:12. Be astonished, O heaven, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord. He's actually saying, heaven, look at what happened. Look at the people. Look at the creation that has taken place on earth. Look at what's happening. And he's saying to the angels are going to blush. They're going to be embarrassed because of what the creation of God is doing. Because they fell away from God. And heaven itself blushes at what man is doing. And notice in verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. That's the first thing they did. They forsook the principles of God. You see, when we forsake the principles of God, we start treating them lightly. You know, there may be principles of the kingdom of God that we have treasured for years, or our parents have treasured, and we begin, as we go in next generation, we take those things a little more lightly. Some of the things that we take lightly today, that I've taken liberty in, I'm not really sure about them. I'm not sure if they're right. Sometimes let me give you an example. I remember when I was a children, you know, you went to church on Sunday morning. That's where Christians belong. That's where the thinking of the day was. That's where you belonged on Sunday morning. You were in church. And one thing you did not do after church is you didn't go out and work and get something done. That was just a day that you didn't do those things. And if the crop was in the field, you left the crop in the field. You had to get special permission to go out and get the crop in if the rain and so forth came. I don't know, maybe that was too legalistic back then, but I think we've taken it too lightly today. You know, we have a tendency to go from one extreme to the other, that Sunday is just another day. And how did we get there? Well, one of the ways we got there is because entertainment put pressure on us to take Sunday and treat it like another day. Back then, you would never go to, there would never be a scheduled hockey game on Sunday morning. Why? Because nobody would go. Because they were in church where they belonged. And as I say, it may have been too, religious back then, but I believe we've gone the other way today. We have to reset our thinking when it comes to some of these things. So we leave those things from God. We leave them now and we start treating them very lightly, some of the things, the traditions that have been set up, healthy traditions that have been set up in man, and then we begin doing something else. That was only the first evil that Jeremiah mentioned. The second evil is this. They have hewn, made for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So Jeremiah is saying, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. You see, when we forsake the fountain of living water, when we forsake the one who pours out living water onto us, when we forsake that one and we stop drinking from the fountain of living water, then we don't see clearly. We're not living the way we should. We begin to take on things that we shouldn't. We begin to drink from someplace else. You see, we're going to drink. Man is going to drink. And if we forsake the Lord, the fountain of living water, we're going to go find someplace else to drink. We're going to do something else in order to provide water for us. Look, for they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed, made for me, for themselves, cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So now, when the body of Christ, or society, used to drink from the fountain of living water, where life would come, joy would come, peace would come, righteousness would come, all those things would come to us when we would drink from the fountain of living water. But when the society has hewn cisterns for themselves, then they start getting all kinds of other things please the flesh. There may be, you know, whether we're drinking too much, we take on too much alcohol, and we take on too much drugs, we get involved in immoral sex and all those kind of things. Those kind of cisterns that we drink from produce very, very negative things in our lives. But man will drink from somewhere. And a fountain is the source of life and joy and purification. A fountain is something that bubbles up from within, and it flows out to us, and we can drink from it. A cistern is something that you dig out, you dig a hole out, like a pit, and it can contain stale water, and many times water has to be put into it, where a fountain bubbles out from within. You know, how much is put into entertainment? You know, we entertain ourselves with all kinds of things, whether it's drama or sports. We entertain ourselves with all these things, but how much do we put into them? Most put a lot into it in order to get something out. And the problem is, what comes out is not always good. What comes out can be very, very damaging. A pit is a cistern is a pit. Don't forsake the fountain of life and settle for a pit. Don't forsake what you can get out from the fountain of life and settle for what you have to draw out of a pit. Psalm 36:9, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we shall see light. For with you, Lord, is the fountain of life. As long as we stay with him, we have the fountain of life. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To turn one away from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord, to walk in the fear of the Lord, is a fountain of life. And it will keep us out of the snare of death. In other words, if we start messing around in our own cistern, we're going to get death. If we'll stay with the Lord, it'll keep us from it. Now let's read about what Jesus said about the fountain of life. John 4:10, Jesus answered and said to her, meeting the woman at the well, we know this scripture in John 4, the woman at the well, Jesus met her there, and she came to get water. And Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would have given you living water. John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. If we believe, walk, stay close to Jesus, if we hang on to him and his word, my words are spirit and they are life. If we hang on to him, we will have a continual flow of life flowing into us. Now, when Jesus met the disciples after he was raised from the dead, one of the first things that he said, he came into the room and he looked at them and he blew on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And they were born again at that time. They received the life of God. They received the breath of God, the same breath of God that is spoken about in Genesis when God created man, that he gathered up the dearth and formed man out of the dust of the ground. And then the Bible says he breathed into him the breath of life. As long as that breath of life was flowing through him, he was enjoying God's presence. He was enjoying life. But when the breath was cut off, he started to live as an enemy of God. Remember, the scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still enemies of God, Christ died for us. Why? Because we had stopped allowing the flow, the fountain of life, to flow through us. Now, I want us to close our eyes for a moment. And think about just this. Jesus came in to the room with his disciples. He came in there after he was raised from the dead. And he blew on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now in your own heart, just in your own heart, say, "Holy Spirit, breathe on me again. Breathe on me again. Breathe on me again. Holy Spirit, flow through me that I might have the life of God in me, that I might have the life of Jesus flowing through me." Father, we so desperately need, God, your Holy Spirit once again to stir in us. Lord, we know Lord, that we do have the precious Holy Spirit who caused us to be born again. But Lord, we need the fresh breath of your Spirit. Father, that you, that every part of us would be, would make a determined statement in the Spirit that we're for the kingdom of God, that we live for the kingdom of God. Today, today, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. Lord, this Holy Spirit that was in us, Lord, we realize that we need his power to flow through us to be able to stand against all the onslaughts of the enemy. The onslaughts of the enemy that the enemy would try to pour out upon society, upon our island, in the schools, through the entertainment systems. Father, help us, God, I pray, to be able to discern correctly of how to live as Christians, how to live worthy of the calling that we've been called to within this generation, Father, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to be able to stand against persecution in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to read from Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, Beatitudes, Jesus is teaching, and he says this, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you. We shouldn't get upset. We shouldn't get in fear when persecution comes because we are making a stand for righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. The Message Bible says, you're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. Isn't that something? Blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. You're blessed. You're blessed. Now notice it says there, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, don't misread that. It's not saying that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It means once you die, you're going to go to heaven. No, the kingdom of heaven belongs to you now. And when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, you can count on the power, the authority, the anointing of heaven coming into your situation. I want to end with this morning. I'm sure most of you anyway probably say amen to most of what I've said, at least this morning. You'd probably say that. But how many of us will actually take the initiative to make sure that we teach our children to stand in the face of persecution? How many of us will take our own personal stand, and even though our children may be persecuted, taking a stand for righteousness, how many of us will encourage them to continue to take the stand? Or we'll say, well, you don't really need to say that there. You don't really, you can soften it a little bit. You don't really have to take a strong stand. You know, as parents, and we have a tendency to not to want to, our children to have to go through difficult times. You know, we try to change it. You know, we used to hear the saying years ago, you know, you made your, even say this to your children, you made your bed, now you got to lie in it. Well, as parents, we want to go and if they didn't make their bed too good, we want to go and make it for them so that they'll have a nice place to lie. We want to go and make it better rather than let them suffer the consequences of their actions. And if we're not going to allow our children to suffer the consequences of their actions, they're never going to be taught anything. They'll never be taught that God looks with favor upon those who will take a stand for righteousness even though they get persecuted for it. That takes a shift in thinking. We have to push the reset button and allow our children to go. In fact, encourage our children. How many of us ever are encouraging even our children to pray and really consider? God could be calling you to the mission field. Some things we've heard about the mission field and the difficult times that people have gone through, especially in years past, that, you know, we don't want that for our children. But we don't think that maybe God could be calling them to it. And rather than praying with our children and asking them, you know, what is God calling you to? What's the destiny that God has for your child? Wouldn't it be a shame if God was calling one of our children to be somebody as effective and has done as many wonderful things as, say, Billy Graham or T.L. Osborne, who just went to heaven this week? You know, what if God is calling one of our children for that? And we said, oh, you know, ministry is really tough. It's really, really difficult. It's really, you know, you get persecuted and the people don't respect you and all that kind of thing. You know, you should think of something else. What if God is calling them to that? And because of what we think is compassion for our children, we don't want them to get hurt. Father, I thank you that you are the author of life, the fountain of life. Life flows from you, God. And we thank you for that life that comes to us now in the name of Jesus. And you have called us to be a people who would distribute, that out of our bellies would flow rivers of living water, that out of our very being, the life of God would come forth. And to impart to our children, impart to the people that we come in contact with, we ask, dear Father, for this distribution of life to come in a greater measure. And Father, even as the things that come in the days ahead, as they come against the body of Christ, as they come in a form that we may not recognize as being from the enemy, I ask you to give us discernment, Lord, that we might be able to see clearly what has taken place, that we'll hear from the Spirit of truth as he releases to us all truth. Father, in the name of Jesus, that God, this confused world would not cause us to become confused, that we would be able to see clearly those things. And Father, I ask you to help us, God, as a body of believers, to grab a hold of healthy traditions to teach our children, healthy areas for our children to walk in, God. And Father, that where our children step outside the boundaries that you have set, God, for human beings to function in, I pray we would have a tenacious spirit to let our children know that we realize that they are outside those boundaries, and that they're going to be paying the consequences of living outside the boundaries that God has set for us. I ask you to help us, Father, to be able to get that across to them. And most of all, Lord, that we let them know that we love them, but we don't allow our love to be misused in suggesting that their lifestyle is okay. We pray for the next generation, God. Parents are teaching their little ones some things that we've never been taught. I pray, Lord, that you would raise up intercessors for the next generation to come. Even the little ones, God, even ones just being born today, Father, to intercede for those coming.